Imagine a woman working in a company, sitting at her desk, and she's doing her best every day, achieving, completing tasks on time, always going beyond that. And this woman, she hears from colleagues and supervisors, "You're doing a great job." All those external recognition, she hears them, but what she actually hears is an inner voice saying, "You're not good enough, you're a fraud, and everyone will discover that soon." Do you feel related to that? This is what is called an imposter syndrome, and we're going to be discussing this topic today. Just like flowers, our being is a sacred and complex universe that requires care, inner work, love, and affection in order to bloom. However, nature also has dark periods where blooming comes with challenges. So, in this podcast, we will talk about those tools that help us take care of the most beautiful garden, the internal one, because everything inside us is sacred. I am Lucia Gallegos, registered psychotherapist, and this is Flowers in Winter. Welcome to Flowers in Winter, a space where we talk and discuss topics on women and mental health. For today's topic, I'm going to ask you to picture this. But before that, just a reminder that this podcast provides information on mental health. Just keep in mind that is not intended as a substitute for professional mental health advice. Always, always seek advice from your mental health professional. So in order to better understand this topic, or what is an imposter syndrome, or what are the symptoms, how does it look like, I'm going to ask you to picture, you remember the woman I mentioned initially? Well, the name is Maria. It's a fictional character, and I'm thinking Maria. Maria works in an IT company. Maria works really hard. Maria achieves different tasks. And at this company, they have like an annual recognition program where they celebrate and recognize the best employees. And Maria, like almost every year, is one of the persons who is recognized not only by colleagues, but also by supervisors. Maria do more than her best. She's always achieving. She's always trying to be perfect. And she's always trying to excel in everything she does at work. So the moment comes where the recognition of the employees takes place, and everyone is really happy. Everyone in Maria's team is so happy for her. One person in your team is achieving a recognition, a reward. And at the end of the day, at the end of the ceremony, you can see that Maria is not feeling comfortable. Actually, she's feeling tense. She's feeling nervous. She does not feel comfortable. She'd rather not being there, not being recognized, just being somewhere else. And even though she hears like really good feedback from other people, recognizing her hard work, she can only hear an inner voice saying, "You have to do it better next time. You did it this time well because it was luck. You do not do anything right. You have to be perfect. Otherwise, everyone will see the fraud you are." Maria is probably experiencing imposter syndrome. So what is imposter syndrome? When I think about the word, and sometimes when I'm talking with clients about it, most of the time it goes to the professional realm, the professional area. And that's true, it happens there. But it can also happen in other areas, like a family or different relationships. But it's true, it can easily be more recognized in the professional environment. And imposter syndrome happens when a person, despite achieving things, despite showing really good abilities at work, feels that it's a fraud, that it's not real, that she or he, and I will be using more she because, well, the content of this podcast is focused on women. And most of the time, women are being more affected by it. So most of the time, even though she has achieved things, like in the case of Maria, inside there is a fear and a doubt that that's real. That creates a lot of anxiety. So that's the imposter syndrome. You're doing your best. You're achieving. You're being recognized by others. And still, you cannot believe that you have the abilities or capacities to complete that. And that you have to do it better next time. And you're always trying to cover that. So imposter syndrome has four P's to consider. One is procrastination, perfectionism, people pleaser, and paralysis. Okay, let's go little by little, one by one, and try to break them down and see if you feel familiar with any of this. So first one, perfectionism. Yes, someone with imposter syndrome will do the best to do everything perfect. Why? Don't worry, I will explain that later. For now, just keep in mind, it's the necessity to complete different tasks with perfectionism. Like, there is no room for any mistakes. And if there's room for a little mistake, the person's going to be really hard on her. Then, this one is really linked to procrastination. And most of the time, it has to do with, I'm not going to complete this task because it is not perfect. I fear that it's not going to be perfect. Therefore, I'm just going to avoid this task. Then, number three, people pleaser. Someone who finds it difficult to say no, to set out limits or boundaries, thinking that other people might think they're not nice or that they're being aggressive. And then paralysis. That means you feel freeze. That you cannot move, you cannot continue. You want to achieve something at work probably, and you feel like I'm just gonna stay here and do nothing because it's not gonna be perfect. Really link, if you can see, with procrastination, with perfectionism. Do you find any of these familiar? Does any of these ring a bell? So, why some people experience imposter syndrome, how it originates. So let's bring back Maria. And we're going to go back in time to her childhood. And we're going to focus and try to see what happened to her at her early childhood years. Maria, maybe her parents, they were trying at home hard to show caring and affection when Maria was achieving something. Let me give you a clear example. Let's say that at home, probably parents somehow were expecting Maria to get always an A. And whenever Maria got an A, the answer, the feedback of the parents was not, oh, such a great job, or you did really well, I'm so glad, I'm so proud of you. No. Probably the answer or the feedback that she got was, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, you're a student. That's your only obligation. So you have to do always like this. And whenever Maria got probably a B+, the answer was like, what's wrong with you? You have to keep an A. That's your only responsibility. So what she understood is, I need to be accepted. And if I do not excel at school, if I not do my best, then no one is going to be taking care of myself. So she's started to function with this anxiety, trying to do the best all the time, but not because she wanted to do the best. It was more like a coping mechanism as a survival method. In my previous video, I talk about childhood experiences and how they shape us in adulthood. So it will be great if you go and watch that video and then come back here, or you finish watching this video and then go and watch it there. It will give you more information and more details about how childhood is related to certain behaviors or symptoms we have as adults. So this is one case, Maria. Maybe also Maria in the family, she couldn't say no to family's demands. Like, for instance, Maria, you have to be every day here. Maybe the mother or the father would tell her, you have to be here every evening to help us to prepare dinner. You just cannot go with your friends. You have to be here. You're responsible for this family. So in Maria's identity is like, if I say no to something, I will be rejected. My parents are going to be mad at me. So what happens, she started creating these personality traits based on her childhood experiences. And what happens, well, it's like a part, like an inner child part gets freezing time, but then time continues and it's like still working in current time, but with the wired that it was created when she was a child. That's why for her, doing her best is not because she enjoys that. It's a survival mode. She fears she will be rejected. And even though peers and supervisors can go and congratulate her, she's not going to believe it is because she's really good at what she does. It's because that's what she has to do, or because it's just luck. However, this creates a lot of anxiety in the person. There is like a low self-esteem. There is a lot of sabotaging herself. There is a lot of procrastination, like I mentioned it before. Is also someone like Maria might be constantly looking and seeking for external validation instead of an internal one. Every time she's doing something, and here's where probably procrastination comes and perfectionism, she will go and make sure that everything is right. If someone says like a feedback or provides a feedback that makes her feel threatened, she will not go further unless she feels completely safe to do that. And again, this is because it comes from an anxious feeling. So what can we do with this? Because there's a lot of women who are experiences or who have experienced it at a certain point in their life, probably, especially at the workplace. There are different ways to work with that. One is start by recognizing your achievements. Because with imposter syndrome, when you achieve something, it's like, what's next? I don't want to take time to think about what I did. I just want to go for the next one. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's the only thing I'm doing, like a school, like Maria did a school. So it's important to make sure that when you do something and achieve something, take time to recognize it, to write it down, to go for a walk, or to meet with a friend, to go for a dinner, like anything that makes you feel aware about that recognition. Then another thing to do is to challenge the thoughts. Here is a way to recognize that the brain at a certain point was wired in a certain way, but that we can challenge that thought. Whenever someone comes and tells you, Maria, you're doing a great job, and probably there is this inner voice saying, no, you're going to be a fraud. Well, there is room to take a moment and to really challenge that inner voice and say, is that really true? Then embrace imperfection. This one, I find it, at least at work, when I'm working with clients, that is probably the most difficult one. Because embracing imperfection, where imperfection or not getting an A meant a danger, it's really difficult to change that. But here is the job that you can do. By starting to identify, I'm a human, and I do not have to be perfect in order to be loved or recognized. That's not part of myself. So allow yourself to be imperfect and to embrace it. Then also set up realistic goals, because with imposter syndrome, Another characteristic or symptom is that people who suffer from it tends to set up unrealistic goals in order to push herself more. So set up realistic goals and self-care. Self-care is also an important role here. How do you take care of yourself? If you're going for a walk, if you get a massage, you have time for yourself, and you meet with friends. It is important to take care of yourself. And also, therapy. And therapy is really important. As I always say, it is important to have a support network, friends, family. But therapy, it is a safe place where you can explore and identify what this imposter syndrome is saying. What are the roots? And then what to do about it. It's going to explore with a professional in a place that you feel safe. That whenever you feel vulnerable, you know you're going along with someone who is showing compassion, kindness, and is focusing on you. That's why I always recommend therapy. So I hope you enjoy this video. And also, if you feel that any of this resonates with you, that maybe any of the symptoms you feel familiar with, or the story of Maria and how she feels, and you find that you have this inner voice telling you that you're a fraud, or you find yourself self-sabotaging you, and you would like to work with us in therapy, feel free to contact me. I will be happy to go along with you and to walk together and to help you to manage any of these symptoms. Enjoy the rest of the day and thank you so much for watching. Flowers in Winter is a podcast by Lucia Gallegos, music by Rosy Cervantes. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook as Lucia Therapy.